Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest this week grew up in Lowell, Michigan, and was a three-time All-State quarterback, and earned a BBA in Supply Chain Management and Finance from Michigan State University while playing quarterback and wide receiver. From 2014 to 2022, he was a financial planner for Northwestern Mutual. And since 2022, he's been the president and CEO of Correa Capital Advisors, an asset management and private wealth advisory firm to business leaders, professional athletes, entertainers, financial professionals. His name? Keith Nichol. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR. I'm Jack Rasula. This is Anything Is Possible. We're with Keith Nichol. Since 2022, he's been the president and CEO of Correa Capital Advisor. Keith, welcome. An honor to have you.
Thanks for having me, Jack. Happy to be here.
Let's go back to Lowell, Michigan. Your childhood, your mom and your dad, please.
Yeah, I have two of the best parents on the planet, you know, and grew up in a loving home and family. I have a younger brother, Kyle. So it's just the two of us growing up. I grew up in Lowell, as you mentioned, and it's a small town, a rural town, a lot of farming, tractors, and all those things going on out there. I grew up, you know, if you wanted to stay at your friend's house, you know, my friends owned dairy farms. You had to get up and do the chores the next morning at 5 a.m. So I grew up in what I thought was the best community ever to create discipline, toughness, and all the things that have carried me on into my life. But my mom and dad, my mom was a Michigan State grad. She worked for the U.S. Bankruptcy Court in downtown Grand Rapids and retired in her 50s. And my dad worked for Steelcase, another great company out in the West Michigan. And he retired from there about the same time at 55 or so. And just grew up in a loving, hardworking, blue-collar family. And I couldn't ask for a better upbringing.
You were famous in high school in Lowell.
Yeah. You
were a 3-year starter at quarterback. You were a 3-time All-State quarterback. All right. 6,550 yards, 76 touchdowns, ran for 3,100 yards. You were the biggest quarterback in Michigan since Drew Henson.
Yeah.
What was that like?
It was, I guess it'd be every kid's, you know, kind of dream come true. You don't ever expect yourself to have that level of success growing up in a small town. And, you know, our small town never had kids come out with that much recognition and success. And so for me, it was all new, and to our community, it was all new. But I had great parents who kept me humble through the process, a great coach who kept me humble through the process, a Hall of Famer, Noel Dean out in Lowell, went to a bunch of state championships for Lowell. And so I couldn't have asked for a better situation to handle all of that notoriety and fame, I guess, that came through the country, through the recruiting process and everything else.
You commit to go to Michigan State, and then John L. Smith gets fired.
Yeah.
So you decide to go out of state to the Oklahoma Sooners. Why the Oklahoma Sooners?
You know, if I'll take a step back. You know, I really wanted to be at Michigan State. I looked up to guys like Drew Stanton and the athlete that he was, and I wanted to be just like him. And my dream was to go to Michigan State. John L. Smith gets fired, like you mentioned. That reopened my recruitment. I had no home with a coach. So, you know, shortly after Coach Smith gets fired, the coaches are flying into my house to sit down with me. And one of them is Bob Stoops with Josh Heupel, who is now the head coach for the University of Tennessee. He was a Heisman Trophy winner for Oklahoma. And if you go back to those days, Oklahoma's days, they were what Bama recently was. They were going to national championships left and right, winning all the Big 12 conference championships. But more importantly to me at the time, it felt like every player that succeeded at Oklahoma had a real chance to go to the NFL, a real, real chance. They had a lot of great athletes going on, and my dream was to go on to the NFL, you know, if I had a successful career, just like a lot of kids. And so I felt that gave me the best chance to go on to the next level after college.
Coach Bob Stoops was at Oklahoma from 99 to 2016. Okay, he led the Sooners to a record of 191-48. His 2000 Oklahoma Sooners football team won the 2001 Orange Bowl, which served as the BCS National Championship game.
Yeah.
What's the biggest thing Coach Bob Stoops taught Keith Nichol?
There's a laundry list of things I learned from him, but the number one thing is I got to see, maybe for the first time in my life, what a CEO mindset type of leader had. So Bob Stoops, he ran an organization like a CEO would in any other business. He had tremendous executives, which I'd associate with like being offensive and defensive coordinators, great assistants, which is more like being directors and so on. And so what he did is he hired tremendous talent to coach tremendous athletes. So if you really think about it, he was an ultimate, I felt, delegator and manager of tremendous talent. And what that taught me in business is that if you can surround yourself with amazing people, amazing talent, and invest highly in those people, you can have a tremendous amount of success. Now, he has to be very talented too and very good at his craft to be able to identify that talent and to manage it, because that's not an easy thing to do. But he was a great manager of people. And when it came down to make a difficult decision, it felt like he always made the right one.
Okay, speaking of talent, you get there as a freshman, and there's another quarterback that they had redshirted the year before named Sam Bradford.
Yeah.
Who went on to win, in his sophomore year, the Heisman Trophy. So you're competing with Bradford. Talk about that preseason.
It was a tremendous experience. You know, Sam was a fantastic athlete, more of a pocket passer than I was. I was a dual threat athlete at a quarterback. And that really taught me, for the first time in my life, the ultimate level of competition. And we took it into the final week before the first game. To Sam's credit, really had the playbook down better than I did. He had been there a full year prior to me. So he started the first game. And in that first game, I think we scored 70 points. And he had a pretty good game himself. So he took it from there. I did not redshirt my first year. I think I was the only freshman on the team that did not redshirt. I think I played 6 games. So I had a tremendous experience in the sense that I got to compete with what I felt was some of the best talent in the country, and Sam, and with some of the other guys. And then an opportunity to play in some of the biggest stage games that we had, games like the University of Texas and all of other big games we had early in the season. So it was a tremendous experience for me to learn a lot as a young person.
All right, so you're at Oklahoma that first year, and the Spartans hire Coach Mark D'Antonio.
Yeah.
All right. So after that first year, you decide, I'm coming home.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
You know, as I mentioned, Michigan State and Michigan are home for me. And I think somewhere in my heart, I always wanted to be back. As much as I love my teammates, and I really do and did love my teammates at Oklahoma, some of my closest friends were from that school and from that team that I was on. You know, home is, again, Michigan and Michigan State. And so I had an opportunity to get recruited by Coach D'Antonio when he's at the University of Cincinnati. And when you talk about one of the more upstanding, high-character individuals that you ever be around in your life, he just sticks out. And so, you know, they had some success, and I saw what he was building early. He only had one season under his belt. But I wanted to come home, and I wasn't going to sit around at Oklahoma and hope for Sam to get either to go on to the NFL or to get injured. The unique thing is that both of those things happened. He went on to the NFL early and had an injury, so I probably would have played a bunch of games there early in my career, but coming home was the right decision, and playing for Coach D was one of the best decisions I ever made.
We're talking to Keith Nichol. When we come back, we're going to ask him about the quarterback room at MSU when he gets there. Brian Hoyer, Nick Foles, Kirk Cousins, and Keith Nichol. All four of them went to play in the NFL eventually. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything Is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Rasula, with Keith Nichol. All right. Sophomore year, you come back home, East Lansing, Michigan State, Mark D'Antonio. Here's the quarterback room. Brian Hoyer, Nick Foles, who was a Super Bowl MVP with the Eagles, Kirk Cousins, gave one of the greatest speeches to the Big Ten Conference his senior year, and Keith Nichol. What was that quarterback room like?
It was special. I can definitely say that. You probably don't recognize how special it is when you're walking into it. But certainly looking back at it, you just named it. Guys who played in the NFL for a really long time, Super Bowl champions. Kirk's had a tremendous level of success with a ton of starts and made a ton of money for himself, historic money. And so looking back at it, it's and then competing with Sam Bradford at Oklahoma, how lucky am I to have been surrounded by such incredible people and talent. And so, I didn't get to spend as much time with Foles. And in fact, as I was getting transferring in, he was transferring out. I think he got a little homesick. He was a kid from Texas, and he went back to the Southwest. So didn't spend as much time with him, but heard tremendous things about him in my time at Michigan State. He's not only a person, but of course, as an athlete too.
Okay, Mark D'Antonio, head coach, Michigan State University from 2007 to 2019. Three Big Ten Conference championships, 8 victories over arch rival Michigan in 13 years, went to the Rose Bowl. Tell us about Coach D'Antonio.
Man, I got to be careful not to get emotional talking about Coach D, because that's how much he's meant to me. But, I mentioned it earlier, just how much of a high character individual he is. And, I guess the biggest compliment I can give to Coach D is, regardless of the level of success he has or doesn't have, he is, if you have kids, if you have a son, that's who you want your son to play for. He'll teach him a lot about what it means to be a man, to be disciplined, to be to balance your profession with your family life, to be a good husband, to be a great father. He's just, and if you're a man of faith, he's a great Catholic. And so he just walks the walk, and he's just the man. I can't explain it any better.
Okay, 3-time All-State quarterback. You go to Oklahoma, you play under Sam Bradford, who wins the Heisman. Yeah. Then you're with Kirk Cousins. And you go to D'Antonio and say, even though I'm playing quarterback, I've been in games, I'll play any position.
Yeah.
Keith, that's old school.
this goes back to my parents a little bit. I shouldn't say a little bit, a lot of it. I was a team first guy, and I always was. And, my dad always taught me to put the team ahead of myself and to compete for the team and to win for the team and to play a role. That was my role growing up, was always to be the guy and to be the one to touch the football every play and to make the plays. And as you ascend through your career, you need everybody to pull that to row the boat a little bit more. You can't do it all on your own. And so at Michigan State, what kind of motivated that move to wide receiver was that I had a dislocated elbow against the university against Illinois on the last play of the game. So I had to sit out a few games. Kirk continues to roll with the team and as a great starter for us. By the time I come back healthy, there's some issues off the field with some other wide receivers. And, fortunately for me, God gave me a lot of gifts. I could always run. I could always jump. Had a larger frame. And, Coach D came to me and said, hey, would you move to wide receiver? I said, whatever you need me to do to help this team win. And then shortly after that, Narduzzi was talking to me about moving to safety. I said, hey, coach, one position change is enough, and I know the offense, so let me stick with a wide receiver, and I'll try that.
Speaking of a physique, Keith, let's be honest, you have muscles in places where most of us don't even have places.
I'm hanging on by a thread. I'm a shell of what I used to be, I promise.
Okay, sophomore, junior, senior year, what was the highlight?
The highlight for me in my career, we beat Michigan 4 years in a row. That's a highlight. I think one of the only few classes to ever do that. So all 4 years of my time at Michigan State, we beat Michigan. One of the bigger highlights would be going to the Big House. And, when you dominate your opponent and you get them to quit, that feels good no matter what. But when you get a rival to do that, and that's a great feeling. Now, I think a lot of the fans would focus on, as it pertains to me, they think the Hail Mary game against Wisconsin, which is a big game for our university and for our program. That one certainly sticks out. I think our triple overtime win against Georgia in the Outback Bowl was a massive win for us. Had a great game myself, so that one sticks out. A game that's a little bit of a sour taste is the game we lost against Alabama in the Capital One, but I think that taught us all a lot about, hey, we've come a long way, but we got a long way to go too. So that was a great learning lesson for us. So I think those are all big games and moments that certainly stick out to me.
What does being a Spartan mean to Keith Nichol?
Man, this is another one that can get me emotional, because now when I step back and look at my life, I could give everything positive in my life has somehow stemmed from Michigan State. Some of my best business relationships, my best friendships, built a bigger bond with my brother because he played at Michigan State. He walked on there, so we were allowed to have that opportunity to play. I met my wife at Michigan State. Myself.
You outkicked your punt coverage on that.
Yeah, no, there's no question about that. She's much better than I am. She's special. So we met at Michigan State my sophomore year. We've been together since my junior year. Now we have four kids together. We live in Bloomfield Hills now, and we're building our lives together. And I'm still very close to Coach D'Antonio, as I mentioned. Some incredible alumni and business people. It's just so many positive things has come from Michigan State, and I'm so thankful for that.
All right, another coach at Michigan State from the UP, yeah. Coach Tom Izzo.
Yeah. That, I don't know of anybody more special in the world of college athletics than Coach Izzo. And I had a chance to be surrounded by him from the time I was probably 15 years old when I was getting recruited to Michigan State. I love Michigan State basketball, so I'd go to the games all the time. We got a chance to build a relationship with him through that because he's the ultimate ambassador of Michigan State. He didn't have to give me any time of day. I'm a football guy, but he always went out of his way to make guys like myself feel welcome. So I had a relationship from the time I was 15. In fact, when John L. Smith was fired, being the ambassador that he is and being the recruit that I was to Michigan State, I think I was the biggest recruit for Michigan State at the time, he would come to my high school games to represent Michigan State. In fact, he was standing on the sideline against one of our playoff games against Muskegon, and that was one of the more historic games in Michigan high school football history. So he was there for me for that. And, if I can give him one compliment, he made such a big impact on me. I wish I was good enough to play basketball for him. He was that special to be around, and he still is, and I still have a tremendous relationship with him, 20 years after we initially met.
Recently, MSU hired a great president by the name of Kevin Guskowitz.
Yeah.
And then he unexpectedly quits. 2 months later, he's got a six-month time frame that he's got to give notice. So 2 months later, he decides, my wife and I love it here. We're going to stay. A lot of people were instrumental in making that happen. One of the biggest was Tom Izzo. Tell us about President Kevin Guskowitz.
I've had a chance to meet our former presidents who have all worked extremely hard to do the best they can for our university. But when you talk about an immediate positive impact, I don't know of anybody in the country, any other university who's made such a positive impact in such a short window of time. When you think about the historic dollars that he's helped raise for the university, the changes he's made in such a positive way, and He's just a special guy, and it was one of those moments when you see him departing, you're like, man, we had a chance to keep the best, and we lost him. But then when you heard the news that he's coming back, I couldn't have been more excited and thankful. So another good, just great family person, loving husband, father. You see that immediately when you're around him. He's just a genuine, sincere person that wants to see great things for the places that he leads, and we have that. And I think he might go down as the greatest ever, potentially, if he stays for a long time.
Talking to Keith Nichol, he just said a great husband, father, business leader, about Izzo and President Guskowitz. That's how people talk about you as well.
Well, thank you.
And I'm Jack Rizzullo, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR. This is Anything Is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Rizzullo. We're with Keith Nichol. Graduates MSU. He tries out with the Redskins, the Bears, and the Lions.
Yeah.
What's the difference between college football players and professional NFL football players?
Well, you know what? The biggest difference is that in the NFL, you know, the best player that you go against in college is now there in the NFL. And so what I mean is it's just consumed and built by the best. And so there is no weak player. There's no playoff. Everybody's elite. Everybody's great. And so, you know, we were fortunate in Michigan State. We had the no-fly zone going, incredible DBs, incredible players, All-Americans, guys that were first-round picks, Darquez Denard, Trey Waynes. We had guys like that. So you had a, fortunately for me, I had a chance to compete against guys like that and see them every single day in practice, which did help. But what you notice is, like, the second string guy is just as good. There's no playoff, and everybody's elite, like I said. So, and of course, the biggest difference is the business dynamic of it. It's not necessarily what people think in the sense that it's always about the best player. No, it comes down to roster needs. It comes down to money in a lot of ways, and what the salary caps allow and what they can have on their roster. So it's not necessarily like, are you good or not? Well, you are, because you're at that level. It's a matter of, is the opportunity and the timing appropriate for you at the right time?
We're talking to Keith Nichol. All right. From 2014 to 2022, you were a financial planner for Northwestern Mutual. How was it, Keith, you got into financial planning?
Yeah, well, I talked about how Michigan State's awarded me almost every opportunity that's been positive in my life, and this is another one of them. And so, you know, a friend of mine, family friend of mine, Sam Monaco, introduced me to a guy named Dave Sokol. Dave Sokol owns a group benefits business called Wilshire Benefits Group. And within that, he does 401k and wealth management. Well, his wealth management broker-dealer license was with Northwestern Mutual. And the Michigan State tie is this. His son, Matt Sokol, was about to go to Michigan State as a senior in high school from Rochester Adams. So Sam asked me, hey, would you mind speaking to Matt and just giving him some guidance or advice around how to succeed at Michigan State with Coach D, what to expect, so on. So I had a chance to informally mentor Matt a couple times and talk to him. And, you know, Dave was around through that experience and said, hey, Keith, I think you'd be awesome in the wealth management space. You have a great personality for it, yada, yada, yada. So I explored the opportunity with Northwestern Mutual because that was his broker-dealer relationship and other institutions, and felt that Northwestern Mutual gave me the best chance to build an entrepreneurial type business within an overarching institution. And they're renowned for their training, which you certainly need to be successful in any space. So I went in on that, never looked back, and have been building since then.
Okay. You're with Northwestern Mutual for 10 years.
Yeah.
You win every award possible. You're a Heisman Trophy winner for them.
Yeah.
You got a legendary future, and then you decide, I want to go off on my own.
Yeah.
Why?
You know, I think I've always had this entrepreneurial spirit that I wanted to own something outright, completely for myself, and to be independent. And so, you know, if I were to take a couple of steps back, I brought in one of my closest friends, another Michigan State grad, who I met in supply chain class, Jake Raska. So I introduced him into the business, and he comes into Northwestern alongside of me 2 years after I started. He's building a great business. I'm building a business. We start informally sharing staff and team and overhead. Fast forward a few years, we identify a business within Northwestern Mutual to purchase. And so we go through that process, execute the merger and acquisition. That conceives Carrera. And that then shortly thereafter, we take the business fully independent into, it's called an RIA, Registered Investment Advisor business. So we are completely independent now, separate from any big institution. We run our own business, and one of the hardest but best things I've ever done in my life.
If you want to learn more, www.carrera-advisors.com. Carrera, carrera-advisors.com. You go to your clients and say, this is what's happening. Follow me.
Yeah.
How'd you convince them to follow you?
Well, I didn't have to convince them on the spot because we built loyalty and trust along the way. And, you know, the sentiment I was getting from my clients was that no matter where I was or who I was affiliated with, that they're with me and they're sharing that for years. In fact, some of my best clients, my biggest clients, were motivating me and encouraged me to go independent, because a lot of them started with bigger institutions and then went on to start their own business. And so they understood that dynamic. They fully supported me through that, and they're probably pushing me to do that for 4 or 5 years before I actually did it. So finally listened to them, took the leap of faith, and we had a tremendous retention. I think 97% retention in the transition. So it was a big success in that transition, even after the acquisition that was done shortly before that transition, which was the most difficult part of it, is getting the newly acquired book of business to follow us. But because that advisor and his team were so great and their clients were so loyal to him, they all followed us as well. But not something I'd like to do again.
All right. Carrera Capital Advisors, what's the culture?
It would feel a lot like what you'd expect maybe walking into a Mark D'Antonio locker room or into a Tom Izzo locker room, because those are the guys that I looked up to so much from a leadership standpoint. And so what I mean by that is it's high accountability, it's high discipline, it's loyalty, it's others first, and it's very, when I say team-minded, well, on that team is not only the members of Carrera, members of the team are also our clients, and that's how we speak to our clients. We're on your team, they're on our team. We support each other, and it's a very non-selfish environment.
Speaking of team, today, 20 team members. Tell us about Carrera's team.
Man, you know, I think just like many business leaders, but I think I just have the best people. I have just incredible team members who are elite at their craft, certainly better at their craft than I would be if I were in their seat, which is what you want as a businessman. Tremendous leaders, guys that take on responsibility. We have people that point the thumb at themselves and not at others. They take accountability for their actions. They're not looking for others to absorb responsibility that's not theirs. And so to answer your question, we have really talented people that care a lot about taking on accountability and responsibility. They're loyal, and they care so much about the outcomes for their clients and for the other people around them that it's just a special place. It's hard to explain. It's something people have to experience, and that's what I tell clients. It's like, hey, I can pitch you on why we're so great, but you're going to have to take a leap of faith and trust us that this is going to be a great experience for you. And my job is for you to say someday, this is the best decision I ever made. And that's our goal.
Today, Carrera consists of $2 billion in assets. If you want to learn more, www.carrera, carrera-advisors.com. We're talking to Keith Nichol, and I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything is Possible on 760 WJI.
You've been listening to your inspirational fireside chat, Anything is Possible, for nearly 20 years.
This is Anything is Possible, and I'm Jack Crisula.
But what has Jack been up to lately? Search at AIP Speaker Series and find out. Jack has interviewed thousands of historical voices, some of whom have offered him their philosophy of life, like Tom Izzo.
And Tom writes, "Work hard, persistence always wins out, discipline is the highest form of love. Stay humble."
The great Ernie Harwell.
"My aim is to do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with God."
And the voices of our generation.
"I am reassured continuously that His unfathomable love and mercy are the greatest gifts of my life and my constant source of strength, reassurance, and guidance. His Holiness, Pope Francis."
At AIP Speakers Series is the YouTube channel where all of these jewels can be heard, including some of Anything is Possible's greatest guests.
And we're with Mitch Albom.
The Little Liar is really a book about truth and lies and the price we pay when we lie.
This is Anything is Possible, and with Tom Watson.
My father loved to play with the pros at the club. Developed a very quick friendship with Stan and played some golf with him. And then he would ask me to play golf with him and Stan.
Our guest this week was born with a rare disorder characterized by the absence of arms and legs. His name, Nick Vujicic.
Something that every human being actually deals with, Jack. It's the choice of continuing to believe or giving up.
And recordings of the AIP Speaker Series events at St. John's Resort. Go to YouTube and search at AIP Speaker Series. It's free. And remember,
anything is possible.
Spohom. I'm Jack Rasula. This is Anything is Possible. We're talking to Keith Nichol. Since 2022, he's been the president and CEO of Carrera Capital Advisors. I'm noted for having one or two breakfasts every day, and once in a while a lunch. I'm a piker compared to you. You're noted for having a breakfast, a lunch, and a dinner every day. When you're an entrepreneur trying to build a business, you get to decide which 12 to 16 hours a day you work. Talk about what it takes to build a great team.
One of my favorite quotes is from one of my best friends and one of the greatest business leaders in maybe the world, you know, Matt Ishbia. He always says, I don't know what it takes, but it takes what it takes. And, you know, to me what that means is you got to do whatever you got to do to succeed and win, to give yourself the best chance to win. And so for me, I just look at it like, how do I just optimize every single moment of every single day? And when I was certainly starting my business, it was maximizing my time. That meant getting in front of great people. And a lot of people like to sit down over a meal. And that's when you get some of the best time with people too. So it was having a breakfast, lunch, and dinner almost every single day for the first, what felt like 10 years of my career. And I'm still doing that a lot.
Do you see happening in the next year or so?
For our business? Now, we have a lot of extremely exciting things that I'm excited to announce here in the coming month or months. And, you know, we've been blessed, Jack. We've been able to expand across, we have clients in 41 states. We've had exponential growth, explosive growth, a team that's grown with us. And so I think for a lot of people, they'd say, just keep doing that. Just keep growing it brick by brick, client by client. But for us, for me and Jake, and we want to optimize our potential. And the world is moving fast. Technology is moving fast. We want to get ahead of that. My goal is to build the greatest business and the greatest platform for not only clients to be a part of, but for other advisors to be a part of. And so part of that and some of this announcement that I can speak to, just high level, is we're in the middle of launching an overarching company that Carrera is going to be the platform to, that's meant to build out an entire new tech platform that I think will be state of the art and better than any tech platform you're going to find in the country as it pertains to the wealth management space. That's going to allow a home for advisors to have a wealth creation opportunity for themselves. So we'll be doing a ton of merger and acquisition and partnerships through that holding company. And then in addition to that, we'll have a special SPV, so special purpose vehicle, think of it as a private equity firm that will consist of sports and entertainment, artificial intelligence investments that our clients will get exclusive access to. So we're in the middle of a lot of really exciting things. I can announce more of it in the specifics as time kind of continues to move forward, but we're really, really excited.
Albert Einstein once said, compound interest is the eighth wonder of the world. Talk about the miracle of compound interest.
You know, some of my favorite quotes come from the greatest investor of all time, you know, Warren Buffett. He had a interview with Jeff Bezos, and Jeff's sitting there like, hey, Warren, the way you explain things, it's so simple, like, to become wealthy, why doesn't just everybody do what you're saying? Well, he's like, I'm in the get-rich-slow business, and everybody wants to get rich quick. So not many people are going to follow what I'm saying, but to your point about compound interest, if you're willing to be patient and to be disciplined, it is the eighth wonder of the world. It can take you extremely far.
President Donald J. Trump recently announced the Trump accounts for the 250th anniversary. Talk about what that can do to our young people.
Man, it can be a tremendous blessing to these kids and for generations of kids. You know, you're talking about getting a seed of money put into an account early for that child that will be in a position to compound and grow for decades. And, you know, if you're doing the simple rules on that stuff, if your money should double every 7 to 10 years, thinking about how many times that money will double over and over and over for a child that's getting born now, especially with medical advancements, how long people are going to continue to live. Even if the money's not a large sum to most, a meaningful sum to many, that money will compound to be a tremendous pile of wealth for people for generations to come.
Ross Perot ran for president once, Perot Systems, EDS. One of the quotes, "Very often when people get successful, they quit doing the very thing that made them successful." Your ego is in check, Keith Nichol. How and why?
Take it back to my parents. Well, I appreciate you saying it, number one. I'll take it back to my parents. I was, you know, raised in a very humble home that said, hey, no matter how good you think you are or aren't, there's somebody out there bigger and better, and you have a long way to go, and to keep your head down, keep your mouth shut, and work hard. And so I've just had that mentality my entire life. And, you know, I think it's what's interesting about success is that the more of it you have, the more you realize how far away you are from even further success and from the peak, if there ever is a peak. And so I think you just get exposed to more and more as you continue to ascend and can see how far you really have to go to see your potential through. So and that's my goal, just to see how far I can take my own potential and that of our clients, that of our team, and you get to serve people. And that's the ultimate way to stay humble and grateful.
As our time winds down together, what advice do you give to our young listeners?
You are your own brand. You need to create a brand that you're proud of and market yourself like crazy. Be different, differentiate from the crowd. And I think going old school is the new way of doing things. Things go in a cycle a little bit. Sit down with people, shake their hand, look them in the eye, write people notes, like just be grateful and but build a great brand and market around yourself.
You live that every day, Keith Nichol. Keep up the great, great work.
Thanks.
Please join us next week. Until then, I'm Jack Rasula. Thanks for listening, and make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spoken.